John 2:23-25 says, Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. The word translated commit is the same word in John 3:16, translated believe. And it indicates what it means to believe that Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins. It means that we commit ourselves to that. We entrust ourselves to it. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, meaning he did not entrust himself to them or commit himself to them. Why? Because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew that their belief did not constitute saving faith. Okay? You can believe some facts, but if you don't commit yourself to some of those facts, you really don't believe in them. The story of Nicodemus contrasts genuine belief with the Jews falsely professing to believe in Jesus in chapter 2. Jesus knew their faith was not genuine, but Nicodemus was an exception. Christ recognized in him an earnest desire to know the truth, even though he did not yet know it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It means he was a member of the Sanhedrin. This same, meaning Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. It means at nighttime, it was dark. He didn't really want it to be public information that he had come to Jesus, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He recognized that God was with Jesus because Jesus was able to do miraculous things. And Nicodemus recognized them as miraculous. Although Nicodemus recognized that Jesus had come from God, he did not recognize that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He had a learning experience on this day, just like we've had. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, meaning born a second time, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you have come to me for teaching, but what you really need is to be born again or to be born a second time. Otherwise, you can never see the kingdom of God. It means very simply, you will not go to heaven. Verily, verily, is truly, truly, or most assuredly. These words alert the hearer to the fact that an important truth is being given. As a Jew, Nicodemus had been looking for the Messiah to come and to free Israel from the bondage of Rome. The Jewish people were looking to get rid of the Romans as their rulers. He longed for the time when the Messiah would set up his earthly kingdom, when the Jewish people would be chief among the nations, and when all their enemies would be destroyed. But of course, at his time in history, this had not yet occurred. Except a man be born again, just as a first birth is necessary for physical life, so a second birth is necessary for divine life. Everybody here has something in common. Our mama gave birth to us. Okay? We were all born physically. We've got a little great-grandson in our church now, and he sure is tiny. Can you believe you used to be that size and your mama and daddy would cuddle you and thoroughly enjoy you? Except in the middle of the night when you got hungry or needed a diaper change. And then they would still love you and they would take care of your need, all right? Just as a first birth is necessary for physical life, so a second birth is necessary for divine life. A second birth is necessary for someone to go to heaven. If you haven't yet experienced this second birth, you are not on your way to heaven. I'll just be honest with you there. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That second phrase, can he enter the second time, assumes in the Greek text a negative answer. It means he cannot. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No. And he understood that. Nicodemus pondered the physical impossibility of a man entering his mother's womb again in order to be born and concluded that it could not happen. Well, my mother was 5'1" and 110 pounds. Can you imagine somebody my size getting back into her womb and being born physically again? It's funny, but it wouldn't happen. There's no way. And Nicodemus understood that. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there are many people that think born of water refers to baptism. No, it doesn't. The next verse will explain what it does mean. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, two births are necessary, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All of us qualify as having been born of water. But all of us may not qualify as having been born of the Spirit. To enter heaven, two births are needed. A physical birth, which is meant by to be born of water, and a spiritual birth, which is meant to be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's physical birth. That's speaking of born of water. All of you that have had children or your wife has had children, you know what the water's involved, okay? Sometimes it has broken at a most inconvenient time, okay? We don't ever want it to happen in church, but I'm sure it has. And poor people that are going through that, but you know what? We'll handle that all right if it does handle, if it does need to be handled. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's a spiritual birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born a second time. This is Jesus speaking. Did he know what he was talking about? Of course he did. The wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind blows wherever it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the wind blowing, but you can't see it. But canst not tell whence it cometh. You don't know what the source of it is. Oh, you can look at the weather map. That still doesn't tell you. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Although you can tell that the wind is blowing, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it, like the wind. You cannot see the second birth, but you can see the effects of it. You can only see it in the effects it has on someone's life. Because to be born of the Spirit means to be saved, and God does a miracle in that person's life. Gives them a new nature and gives him the Holy Spirit to dwell in him. And the Holy Spirit teaches him many things, including what's wrong and what is right. And we find that the people that have been genuinely saved have changed lives because God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling inside of them. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? It's clear that he did not get it. It's all right. You perhaps don't get it either at this point. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? The word the appears before master in the Greek text. Master means teacher. It is literally, you are the teacher of Israel as the nation's outstanding teacher, the leading teacher among the Jewish people. Nicodemus ought to understand how God, by his sovereign grace, can give someone a new heart, but he did not know this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Jesus was telling them that things he knew. He was God in the flesh. He had been born physically, but he was God the Son from heaven. He was telling them things he knew, but they were not listening to what he was saying. You ever been in that situation? My wife thinks I'm in that situation all the time. I tell her that I listen to everything important that she has to say. She thinks everything she has to say is important. But I can't tell whether she's speaking to herself or speaking to me. And so I don't pay as much attention to it as maybe I should. She thinks I should pay more attention. I won't say what I think. If I have told you earthly things, and Jesus had told them earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Since Nicodemus could not grasp the basic teaching of being born again, which Jesus presented in earthly analogies, how could he understand and believe the more abstract heavenly matters such as the Trinity, the Incarnation, Jesus being born as a man, and the coming glorification? And the answer is he could not really understand them. And then we see in verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Nobody has ever ascended to heaven. It does not refer to either Enoch or Elijah. They did not ascend on their own. They were taken up. Only Jesus ascended on his own. And then Jesus said, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. While he was there on earth, he was also in heaven. This is a statement that Jesus is omnipresent, everywhere present equally at the same time. That's different, isn't it? He was physically present on earth. And Jesus is indicating that while he was physically present on earth, he was still in heaven. Even during his earthly ministry, Jesus was omnipresent. And that's why he can be with you and with me anywhere and everywhere we go. We never are out of his presence. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, remember the story? Nicodemus put up a pole and put up a brass serpent on that pole, that whoever would look at that serpent that had been bitten by a snake would be healed. Similarly, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus, beginning in verse 14, is telling Nicodemus how a man can be born when he is old. With even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is predicting his crucifixion. He will be lifted up and nailed to a cross. With this result, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that's everybody in it as well, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His only begotten Son means that Jesus is God's one and only Son. If we will want to go to heaven, we must recognize that we are sinners who need to be saved. And we must recognize that Jesus died on the cross where he paid in full for the sins that you have committed and that I have committed, with the result that we do not have to go to hell and pay for them ourselves. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, meaning the occupants of the world, the human beings through him, might be saved or delivered. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Somebody that has placed his trust in Jesus as his personal Savior is not under God's condemnation. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He doesn't have to wait till the end to find out if he's condemned. He's condemned while he's still alive. The reason is given because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, when you see believing in his name, it means believing in him. Jesus' name represents all that he is and all that he has done. You have to believe in Jesus being crucified as payment for your sins in order to go to heaven. But you don't have to do anything to go to hell. You're already on your way to going there. And you'll end up there if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior during this lifetime. You may not even believe that hell exists. Well, you'll find out that it does. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus is the light who has come into the world. But men love darkness, not for its own sake, but because of what it hides. They want to continue undisturbed in their evil deeds or in their sinful practices. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. He doesn't want his sins exposed. Neither cometh to the light. He doesn't come to the light of the world. He doesn't come to the light lest his deeds will be shown for what they are, lest his deeds should be reproved. And those who love sin hate the light because the light exposes their sinfulness. Why do you think we put up lights all over the place at night when you have a building that has people that want to break into it? It kind of is a deterrent. Why do we have lights around the building? So the burglars know that they're being observed. They may not even realize they're being videoed as well. We don't know what we know. The point is simple. The light exposes the darkness. But he that doeth truth, he that practices what is true, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, meaning clearly seen, that they are wrought in God, means that his works have been done or carried out in God. Well, once again, it's Easter Sunday, And we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day following his crucifixion. Third day. It's not after 3 days. Friday he was crucified. That's one day. Saturday he was in the tomb. That's the second day. Sunday morning, a third day, he was raised from the dead. Luke 24, 1 through 8 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, that's even before now, it was still dark, they, meaning certain women, came under the sepulchre, under the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Why did they bring the spices? They were expecting to find Jesus' dead body, which they would anoint with the spices in order to cover the odor of his dead and decaying body. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Surprise, surprise. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Surprise, surprise. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men, not women. Interesting, isn't it? Angels are not referred to as women, and yet they seem to get pictured that way in today's society. Two men are angels. Stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, the women were scared. You can't blame them. You probably would have been too. And bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, the angels said to the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Paul summarizes the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So here's what we think. Praise God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. His raising Jesus from the dead guarantees his acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us, for our sins. It also guarantees that he will eventually raise believers from the dead and enable us to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus. I trust that's been helpful to your understanding. Why don't we sing that again, that chorus, okay?
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.